Part two for the Will Schuster expose or character study, however you want to look at it. We are back here for part two, where we are going to cover all things Will Schuster seasons 3 and 4. I don't have a whole lot of setup. I think we can get right into it. So, Aman, we left off at the end of season two that Will sent himself off to New York with the new directions. He didn't send himself off, but he was there. He was reconsidering his Broadway dreams, decided he's going to stick by the new directions side as they come in 12th place. But now we're going to go into season three. And he and Emma are going to give it a shot.
Yes, they are. It's been a long time coming. It's been a hard day's night. You've been proposing like, well, not really. He hasn't really been proposing, but
soon to come.
Propositioning at the very least. Yes. He's been propositioning many times. Yeah, this hopefully is this. Well, it is the season, not hopefully. We've covered this already. I don't need to be.
Hopefully something happens this season where they actually make progress.
Those hoes are finally going to tie the knot and get married this season. It's been a long time coming. Season one was a tease. Season two was an even bigger tease and an elongation because they decided to introduce Carl, Dr. Carl,
in the mix. Carl.
But now, hi, I'm Carl. But now that Carl is gone and they have finally confessed their real, true, undying feelings for one another, we are free to open up this season with them being together.
Yay.
It's the cutest thing ever.
No, it's not. It's fine. Yeah, they're going to open up the season together. I think we literally open up the episode with like the two of them at their, maybe it's at Will's house, you know, packing lunches. They're living together, seems to be, you know, on the up and up for the two of them. So, you know, that's definitely a good thing compared to where Will has been all over the place. And it just becomes a question of like, can he get this right this time? Obviously, they both have feelings for each other, but it does seem like he was the one that kind of kept fucking it up by, you know, kissing Shelby or doing this or doing that or whatever. So all on you, Will, to see if you can get this right. Back at the school, we do see that turns out not much has changed between himself and Sue, even though, you know, they had a nice moment to end season two at the funeral episode. Sue is now on a run for a seat in Congress, and she's using an anti-arts platform to help herself get there. Will is obviously informed about all that, so he's going to go off and, well, I think he like glitter bombs Sue at Cheerios practice, and like Emma's recording it, like that whole weird thing that happens to kick off season three because she's trying to cut the arts and all that stuff. And also, Will's dealing with some stuff within the Glee Club. Sugar is trying to try out, and he has to decide if he's actually going to turn somebody away for the first time, because obviously Sugar is not a very good singer, and ultimately he does side with Rachel and anybody else that's in his ear, saying, don't let her in. So he doesn't let her in. There goes, after two full seasons of it, the everybody gets in rule is out the window now. But he still does have to get to a full team, so we'll work on all of that. But going into the second episode of the season, we find out that Shelby Corcoran is back. And because Sugar was not allowed in the new directions, Shelby is back with Sugar, and a new team is going to be formed here in season three, a new Glee Club that is going to not exactly rival the new directions, but they're not with the new directions, so there's that.
Yeah, I mean, Will tries to maintain his everybody gets in rule, but now that the kids have had 2 years of failure, and their popularity still continues to rise, you know, I mean, they're still, you know, not the cool kids in the school. At least some of them are, but some of them still aren't. But the Glee Club, you know, they've gone from being the bottom of the barrel to, you know, at least being ignored for the most part, right? And so they just want the win. They want everything to work out well for them. So that makes it really hard because now that creates a bit of friction between Mr. Shu and the rest of the Glee kids. Most notably Rachel, of course. But I mean, Sugar was just such a bad, bad poster child for Everybody Gets In, because you let that girl in, it would have been a nightmare. Well, at least it would have been a nightmare in that state, because clearly they were already afraid to say anything to her. So what happens when she wants a solo and you don't give it to her? Mm-hmm. And you already let her in the group thinking that she's probably going to be great. Then you have to explain to her that she actually isn't that great. And then what is that going to do to the group dynamic? So I think that Rachel was probably right in that they needed to like let her down. But not necessarily because she couldn't sing, but more so because of her attitude. Like
that too.
She was going to be a nightmare. Maybe not. I mean, maybe if they had let her in and Santana were there to like sort of quell that, because she certainly put her in her place in her own damn glee club that her own damn father bought for her. So yeah, that ends up being a thing on its own. But yeah, Mr. Shu isn't able to do it. I mean, he lets Rachel get in his head and he says, you know, Sugar, you can't sing. And that's the first time that he ever really had to do that to a child. And he's like feeling really miserable about it. But Sue is like, oh, you got a pair of marbles this year. Well, good for you. So, which he did not enjoy doing. And he makes it known that he didn't enjoy doing that. But yeah, this is also going to begin the whole Will versus Sue in Congress battle. But it's really going to be a proxy war because he's going to convince Bert to actually run against Sue for Congress so that they can actually work on getting some arts and money put back into the arts programs within their public schools. So
right,
there's a lot going on in season three at the beginning. It's really exciting, actually.
And as far as, you know, Will's relationship goes with the current New Directions, obviously that doesn't, you know, Sugar is not a current New Direction, so count her out of this narrative here. But not everything is going super well. I mean, I guess you could also say that Quinn is technically not a current New Direction. She starts off the season saying that she's done, she's over it. But just as far as like these kids go, the dynamic that Will had going with Quinn, definitely for the first season, and I don't know, you could say that it didn't totally disappear in the second season, is pretty much gone. Sure, Quinn's going through her own thing right now, but she's taking it out on Will in a certain aspect. A lot of this obviously also kind of brought on by Sue instigating here, with Quinn bringing Sue bringing Quinn into Will's office and Quinn coming down on Will saying that all of this is his fault and blah blah blah. Will gets pretty feisty, pretty fired up here, like yelling at her, this, you know, high school girl still is exactly what she is, and yells at her pretty intensely there, telling her that she needs to grow up and this is not on him, you know. Is he wrong about what he's saying? No, of course. All of him and everybody in the Glee Club were there for her. She's going through something right now, so screaming at her is probably not the best way to get your point across as a teacher, as a grown man, but that's that. But, I mean, that kind of attitude.
No, she needed that.
Her dad, or maybe not her dad. Her dad's a bad example. But, like, somebody closer to her, I don't know, can talk to her and lay down the law. It doesn't need to be her teacher. I don't know. I get that they have a close relationship, so maybe I'm being a hypocrite by saying that, but it's just not a comfortable scene anytime that Will's getting that loud with anybody, let alone a younger student, you know, whatever.
I mean, far be it for me to come to Will's defense on most things, but she needed that because she was the one that came barging in there at the behest of Sue, no less, who drummed her up to that point to make it all about Mr. Shu and how it's his fault that she got... that, like, what exactly is his fault, Quinn? What did he do to you? Not a damn thing. You did all that stuff. And if anything, he was the one that fostered a community of a safe space for you.
Okay, but...
all those friends that you made...
I want to counter that by bringing up the point that I think we often bring up about how he's very neglectful of the kids most of the time. Always putting himself first, always putting whatever narratives he wants to follow before any others, picking and choosing what is important to him and what's not. And if Quinn is feeling similarly to like Tina does, or like the Trouble Tones girls are about to express that they're feeling, of just feeling neglected by Will and all this kind of stuff, sure, we get this story told to us that he creates such a welcoming environment or whatever, but we hear all of these like people that are not Rachel Berry or Finn Hudson come up and talk about how it's not actually the case at all times. So if this is part of Quinn's story, I mean, yeah, we already talked about her with all that kind of stuff, but I'm not completely saying that Will's innocent here.
But that's not what she said, though. You know, like I would agree with that, but she comes in there talking about how pretty much blaming him for all the things that have happened to her. You know, the whole thing with the baby and then having to get the baby up and then losing her spot on the Cheerios because she was so concerned with Glee Club. And it's like, girl, no, Will didn't kick you off. Sue did that. Will didn't get you pregnant. You did that. You also were the one to give up the baby after already almost about to lie to Mr. Shu in giving Terry that baby and then passing it off as his own. Like, it's like...
Point taken.
If she was really that bent out of shape about getting solos, which it never really seemed that important to Quinn, joined that Glee Club because she wanted to make sure that Rachel wasn't getting too close to Finn, and then it turned into her actually enjoying the club. So it's like, what is the issue here, Quinn? Which is why, I mean, which is why we hate that part of her character so much, because it's such bad writing, because it doesn't really make much sense why it happens in the first place. And then that she blames it on Mr. Shu. It's like, girl, get rid of the hair dye. Come correct next time. Not with a boom carrying Becky and a camera carrying Sue. Yes. Like,
fair enough on that doing? End, yeah.
I do like Becky at the end of that being like, that was really sexy.
Yeah. But besides Quinn, it's not just Quinn here that he's having issues with. Obviously, like I said, the Trouble Tones girls are also going to become, you know, more and more upset with things to the point where they decide that they're leaving. Mercedes in particular, Will is going to be a huge dick to her, giving her a super hard time every single booty camp lesson, which also, sure, again, you can say that she does deserve some fault there as well for showing up late. And maybe it does seem like at times that she's not putting in the most effort, but she also will counter that with valid points about how, where is everybody else? Like, why is Rachel not here? Why is everybody not here? If this is a booty camp for all of us, we should all be here, and then we'll all put in effort because it's a team. It's always about the team. So why does, you know, whatever. So we don't have to get back into all that. But he ends up pushing Mercedes out of the group with the whole, Mr. Shu was supposed to love me of it all. It's all over there. Santana's going to follow. Mm-hmm. Brittany's going to follow. And next thing you know, Will is out here watching the Trouble Tones with their first performance of Candyman. And, you know, we've seen that horrified look that him and Finn both have while watching that. Like, damn, that is on us. That's on me. Will thinking like, I fucked up there. So they're gone. They're going to go do the Trouble Tones thing. Back at home, though, we have Will and Emma, obviously, like we said, they're together and they're discussing their future. They've gotten apparently to the point where he wants to meet her parents, but that's not the best idea.
Not the best idea because they're dead. I mean, they're not really dead, but that's what Emma wants him to think.
I was like, wait a second. Did I take the wrong notes?
Yeah. She does not want him to meet her parents because it turns out her parents are pretty racist and a little mean. They call their own daughter Freaky Deaky because of her illness. They do not want her daughter being with anybody that doesn't have red hair. They're just all around pretty toxic individuals. And they're fake too, because they acted as if they enjoyed Will's cooking and then spit it out as soon as Will was like, well, you know what, fuck you guys, I'm gonna marry your daughter whether you like it or not. And Emma, you know, she really appreciates Will for doing that, because it shows that he was able to stand up to her parents, even though her parents are the ones that should be, you know, giving him the blessing to marry their daughter. Mm-hmm. But it's something that Emma's never really been able to do as a child, and it's, you know, manifested itself in pretty insidious ways in her adult life. And now she has someone by her side that is willing to stand up for her, whereas that might not have happened otherwise. I don't know where her siblings were throughout all this, because we do learn in season 4 that she does have a sister. But it seemed as if she was sort of alone dealing with her parents' verbal abuse as a child. So good on him for being able to stick up for her. But it still does leave her pretty shaken, because she's looking to find a way to get through this and get so that she doesn't have to freak out every single time. And I think being confronted with her parents again really just put her back in that really, really fragile state. And so Will's going to find her praying for that sort of like clarity and, mental peace so that she can actually be a good wife or fiance or partner to him. Mm-hmm. And he sings to her, which is really nice. Always enjoy that performance.
Yeah, that's where we get Fix You, as Will and the New Directions all kind of come together there. Will singing, just wishing that they could, Will in particular thinks that, you know, or wishes he could do something to help Emma out. But it seems like as much as he's been there for her, as much as he's tried to help her through a lot of these different, you know, things that are going on in her life, you know, we're still not there yet. We're still, you know, she's still a work in progress, as are we all, right? So that's, you know, still something that they're going to be working on. And before we get to the next big episode between the two of them, which is, of course, going to be the proposal episode, they move super fast. Just to quickly note, which I probably should have, you know, held all together earlier, but the Trouble Tones obviously lose at sectionals. So, you know, Will and all of the New Directions welcome them back into the group. And just wanted to quickly touch on here the fact that we talked about how, you know, we never quite get that scene of Will admitting that he did anything wrong. to like drive them away. We hear Quinn go to the girls talking about, you know, Will agreed, Rachel agreed to let you have one number at every competition. But I think you might have even been the one to bring up the point saying like, it would have been nice to have Will be there as well to be like, I am sorry that I neglected you for so long. You guys are obviously extremely talented and, you know, this should not have ever come to this point, but, you know, please come back and we will make sure that you have your spotlight every opportunity.
Yeah, he doesn't really take a lot of responsibility for that because I think he's so focused on the fact that the Glee Club even is even a thing at that time and that they're doing that. I mean, he thinks that he's doing what he can to make sure that the Glee Club stays together. And in a lot of ways, I mean, Rachel is extremely persistent and naggy. I mean, we know this about her. And I mean, she cares. She has a lot of passion for it. She is the leader of the club besides her and besides Finn. And so I feel like sometimes it's hard to tell Rachel no because she's doing a lot more work than the other kids are doing. And yeah, there are definitely moments where we can see lots of examples of that. So I'm not coming to Mr. Shu's defense here, but I can understand why he's more inclined to give solos out to Rachel. For one, because she will make a hissy fit if she doesn't. And two, she does a lot for the club, more so than some of these other kids do. And so it's just easier to just keep her silent, keep her happy. But it's everybody's senior year now, so people are kind of done with sitting in the background, and you really should be thinking, like, you really shouldn't dismiss that as if it's nothing. Like, when Mercedes comes to you and says that to you, like, yeah, maybe it kind of, like, blew up at booty camp, but, like, that doesn't mean that what she's saying was wrong. Like, you tried to make it about, like, oh, you're being lazy. Like, okay, but besides that, yeah, maybe I did, you know, stop by at Quiznos before getting here. Maybe I did, but even if I hadn't, does that mean that you were going to give me a solo for sectionals? Because I don't think that you are. I think I pretty much heard you saying Rachel and Finn. So, yeah, I stopped by fucking Quiznos before I got here, Anne. What and about
like,
it?
We don't even get any payoff, really. Like, they, you know, they come back and they sing We Are Young together with all the kids. But, like, the only thing that we get from Will there is his usual, like, oh, a song just finished. Walk onto the stage and, like,
come back.
Awkward laughing.
Come back
with
over
all of
here.
Them.
Give me a hug.
Yeah, like, yeah, everybody,
you know, you
we're
love
back
me.
Together. And it's like, no, you, my friend, need to go apologize to them. Because, again, this should not have gotten to this point. And in particular, Mercedes and Santana, you know, being driven away like this, there was never a need for it to get this far, but you let it happen. So we go on into the rest of the season. Of course, the girls are going to come back. So luckily, we have a full Glee Club going into regionals and eventually nationals. But like I said, back to the Emma and Will of it all. Will has decided that he wants to propose to Emma. Emma actually had the thought first. She's out here singing Wedding Bell Blues and seems like she like does propose to Will. And he's like, was that what I thought it was? And she says, no, absolutely not. Of course not. Of course not. But he tells the kids that it's time to propose. He wants to make it perfect. They come to him with some ideas. The boys have the moves like Jagger, Jumpin' Jack Flash thing. The girls do some The First Time I Saw Your Face. Both of them, you know, trying to just bring like different ideas to performances that can be done. Finn is going to end up coming with Will, ring shopping, because, of course, Will has no other, let's all say it together, Will has no adult friends. And he asks Finn to be his best man, because Will has no adult friends. We get a nice moment between the two of them there, as Finn kind of confides in Will about his plans for the future. He's talking about, you know, maybe wanting to join the army like his dad, which is going to lead to more Finn content later in the episode, where Will and Emma are actually there while Bert and Carol come to the school to talk to Finn about the truth in regards to his dad. We'll get into all of that in Finn's podcast, but, you know, Will being there, probably, like, organizing that whole thing in the first place, like, just another moment for the two of their friendship as like, you know, he's asking Finn to be playing a crucial role in a big stage in Will's life, and hearing that Finn is making these big decisions towards the future of his life, we got to make sure that this is all, you know, the right thing to do here, that everybody's on the same page, his parents, like, you know, him and Emma, so they, you know, work on that together. But Will's also going to ask Emma's parents for their permission, and they do not take kindly to that because, like you said earlier, they are awful. They don't think that Emma's going to be able to handle a child and marriage. Her OCD, they think, is too much. So he comes home and he actually like ends up talking to Emma about all this, saying, you know, the doubts that her parents had kind of seep into his mind to think like, actually, maybe this isn't a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's and I think it's a conversation that has to happen. I mean, it's very heartbreaking, this scene, because Emma's like, look, I'm taking my medication. I've been going to therapy. Can I promise you that this will never happen again? No, but all I have is like the promise to love you and have all this love for you and to just to promise to always try. And I mean, he does use a word that's pretty gut-wrenching to use against someone that does have a mental illness that is not under their control. And he says it's hopeless. And I'm sure that's something that Emma has had to deal with her entire life.
Yes.
By her damn self. Like, having to constantly battle this. Yeah, of course she probably feels hopeless. You don't. She doesn't need you saying that to her. You're supposed to be the one that is her escape from that, you know? And that's a lot of pressure. So I understand what Will is saying as well. That is a lot of pressure to constantly have to be on for this person that can't constantly be on themselves. So it's definitely a conversation that is worth having. Like, are you sure that you're ready to do this? Like, what do we do with kids? Can you handle that? Can you handle the mess? Kids are messy. Life is messy. Can you handle that? So it's really, 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 really. It's probably one of my favorite scenes between the two of them. Just as actors between Matt and Jaima, but also just as characters. I really like that scene. I think it's so important to see that. And I like the fact that it's pretty much immediately followed up with the proposal here, right?
Like, yeah.
I think maybe it warrants maybe one more conversation, but I think we knew that they were going to get together as an audience. And on top of that, I think that Will knew that he was going to marry her. He just had that moment of weakness because her parents are assholes.
Right.
But that wasn't enough to deter him from doing this elaborate-ass proposal.
Yeah, I like the scene as well with Emma, you know, trying to explain to him, you know, some days are good, some days are bad. I'm doing my best every day. Like, I'm taking my medicine. I'm trying. I'm doing everything I can to make this work for myself as a person, but also for both of us. You know, we're in this together. And yeah, like you said, like, it was never really in doubt that Will had this in his mind that he wanted to do this. But, you know, you're supposed to be able to talk to your parents and the people that are closest to you, your family or whoever, to, you know, in the old tradition of it all, the guy's supposed to go ask the girl's dad and get permission. And usually that's like, I don't know if it's always an easy step, but usually that's the step that you always see how it plays out. And as long as you get the yes, you go ahead, you propose, yay, celebrate, party. But obviously this played out a little bit differently. So once they have this conversation and he kind of gets shaken up a little bit to be like, okay, she's right. I should not have been doubting her. You know, she is trying for both of us here. He goes ahead. He puts together that elaborate proposal, like you mentioned. Nothing like Rihanna, nothing like the pool to get your message across. They get some We Found Love going with a huge synchronized swimming performance with all the Glee kids as Will dives into the water in his full white suit, emerging to propose to Emma, which, again, you know, pretty messy. Pretty messy as you jump out of a pool.
Spend a lot of money on that suit. Wet.
She doesn't like mess, but you're coming to her soaking wet. I mean, okay, whatever, it works. And she says yes. So, you know, very nice proposal. Like, whatever he says there, I remember. You know, I think we played it on that episode, but very nice. And obviously, he is very much hoping that she says yes, so she does, and yay, we're all gonna get married. So cool, life is good. Emma and Will are going to get married. The plan is to do it. We'll get into all the planning for it because that becomes a whole nother story. But now that that's out of the way, let's get back to a part of Will's teaching career that we have not touched on a whole lot because it barely came up through three seasons, but it's going to come up in an episode titled The Spanish Teacher, where we have Will. We find out that there is a tenure position available. Of course, to cut ahead, we're going to find out that Emma is the one who gets it, not Will. But in order to potentially be a candidate for it, Will realizes that he probably needs to be better at being a Spanish teacher. So he's going to start taking some classes to work on his Spanish. David Martinez shows up, and he is going to be the mentor, I guess you could say, to Will to help him out with this. But throughout the performance, not the performance, throughout the episode, we're going to see pretty much something that should have happened years ago. Will being put in his place for being a terrible Spanish teacher. And luckily, Santana comes by to, you know, make sure that the lessons that he's trying to put out there, the image he's trying to put out there of the culture, of the language, of all this kind of stuff that is really a poor representation is no longer going to exist.
You know, the Latino versus Chicano versus Spanish versus Hispanic thing really be fucking people up, huh? Like, people really just don't get it. And Mr. Xu, the Spanish teacher, no less, doesn't understand. It all starts because he feels threatened by this really, really sexy guy by the name of Ricky Martin, a.k.a. David Martinez, who comes in to give the Glee kids some Latin flair, and they have lots of fun with him. He even tries to, you know, show that he can speak a little Spanish, but clearly Ricky is, you know, he actually knows language, being that that's his first language, and can't really converse with him. And so it's just all around, he just seems to be a better educator in that field, and it's something that he has to deal with. But not to be defeated, he decides to put on this entire performance, which we talked about last time, of the mariachi costume, bullfighting with Mike and Brittany being the bulls while singing A Little Less Conversation. Like, it's just, what are you doing? Like, and thankfully, Santana is the one to be like, look, yeah, why don't you just pop on some Dora the Explorer, head to Taco Bell, and order me a chihuahua? Like,
because Santana gets like, up there with doing? David Martinez, and she puts on a show with their performance mm-hmm. there. So when Will goes up there and he's like, you know, because she's putting pressure on him the whole week. They're doing, you know, he wants them all to do Spanish performances. And when she's putting the pressure on, okay, so Will, when are you doing yours? And he eventually has to do his. He goes up there and he gives that performance, and Santana, like, doesn't even let him finish, I don't think. She's like, this is not it.
Oh, no. He finishes.
Does he finish?
He finishes. They sit through that entire thing.
I mean, it was a shorter like it, of course, version, maybe, but that's what I'm thinking of. It's like, wasn't like a full-length Glee performance, but yeah, it's either way. It's not good. And, you know, long story short here, we're going to see that Will decides that he is going to pass off the job of the Spanish teacher to David Martinez himself. So David's now going to have this full-time job here as a Spanish teacher. Will sees that there's an opening for a history teacher because the history teacher that left was the one who opened up the tenure spot. So he's going to slide into that spot. I guess he's qualified to teach history. I doubt it, but we'll see how it goes. So Emma gets the tenure. Will is now teaching history, and luckily after two seasons and probably a lot more years before we even got to meet him ourselves, the era of Will Schuster, the Spanish teacher, has come to an end. So, finally.
Yes. That's yes. A good thing. You know, and I will say this once and then get off my soapbox, but I always like to take a moment to educate people because I was also uneducated at one point. Hispanic, that refers to people, land, language, culture of Spain. So if you're Spanish speaking, if you're from Spain or of the culture of Spain, you're Hispanic, right? Latino means Latin in Spanish. Latin is the language of the old Roman dominated part of Europe. So Latino is equivalent to Hispano or Hispano and equivalent to European. So Mexicans and Chicanos specifically deal with people of Mexico or a specific part of Mexico if you want to use the term Chicano. Latin refers to people that are of the Latin American region. So Colombia, your Perus, your Dominican Republics, your Puerto Rico, those are Latin Americans. Mexicans are also Latin Americans. Spanish people are not Latinos. They are Spanish. They are Hispanic. That's just a quick little demographics lesson, because I feel like a lot of people just don't understand that, and they get into these really, really weird conversations about like, oh, well, what does Hispanic mean? And if you're Spanish, but you're from Mexico, does that mean that you're this, that, and the third? And she's like, it's very simple if you just take the time to understand it. And clearly Mr. Xu did not take that time to understand as a Spanish teacher, no less. I just can't get over it. It's just so bad.
That's a good lesson to for you to give here, especially considering in part one you asked everybody to send this podcast directly to Matthew Morrison / Will Schuster. So hopefully he's up to this part in the podcast. Then hello, how you doing? Glad we're able to have you join us for this lesson here today. By the way, also in that episode, to catch up with the Sue and Will dynamic of it all, this is the episode where Sue is going to ask Will for his sperm because she's trying to get herself pregnant, and Emma has to step in and be like, Sue, that is very inappropriate to be asking my fiance for his sperm. But Sue is like, you know, having a heartwarming moment here where she admits that Will is such a good, optimistic man, and he has so many good qualities that she wants her baby to have. Also, you know, a full head of hair that doesn't hurt as well. So she's out here trying to, you know, get his sperm, which is occupied by others.
Get that sperm, baby.
So that's that.
That baby batter.
What else is going on here in season three? Karofsky's suicide attempt, unfortunately, takes place in the On By Way episode. Will tries to bring the Glee kids together to talk some things out. That's where he has Rory taste the peanut butter to try to remind them all, you know, you guys have so many amazing experiences ahead of you, some that you have no idea are yet to come. And Mercedes tries to cut in there where she's like, actually, like, don't think any of us here would actually consider doing what Karofsky did. But Will admits to them something there, which is just, you know, a personal moment of Will opening up, which we don't get too often, of something that seems like a genuine, you know, it's not just him trying to make all things about himself kind of thing or whatever, him being stupid. It was a nice moment. He admits to them about how one time when he was younger, he's like, I know it sounds stupid, but I got caught cheating on a test. I was terrified of my mom finding out. And that's a thought that crossed my mind, like seriously crossed my mind. And he's, you know, trying to make the point to them that, you know, it may seem like it's no big deal. Like it may seem like something you want to laugh at, but you never know, you know, anything could be a big enough deal to anybody to get them to that point. So, you know, it's one of those teaching moments along the path here in season three for Will to become teacher of the year when we get to the end of it, to just, you know, show you that there are moments where he actually is, you know, there for the kids and trying to be a good mentor, role model to them, to, you know, open up and talk through some things. And the group does go on to win at regionals, which is good for them. Sue ended up getting pregnant on her own without Will's help and without his sperm. So he's going to congratulate her on that. And they also, Will ends up, him and Emma both also like accompany Sue to like doctor appointments after she's talking about how like she doesn't have anybody to go with because she's, you know, single and all this. I mean, she married herself, but you know, still not the point. So they end up going with her to that.
Fabulous tracksuit dress, mind
yes,
you.
Yes, yes, yes. So I guess with all of this, you know, I guess the switch right now is flipped to the friend side of things rather than the enemy side for the past couple episodes. Emma and Will are going to get back to some planning for the wedding, and they talk about how, you know, he wants to have it at Christmas time like they had planned, he wants to not have it at Christmas time like they had planned, but rather move it up to May, which is only a month away, because Will is starting to freak out here towards the end of season three. All of his friends are leaving. All of his friends are about to graduate and leave him. And say it all together, Will has no adult friends. So he is very worried now that the wedding is going to happen at a time where maybe not everybody's going to come home. And Emma's going to try to calm him down. She's like, okay, Will, the kids will come back for you. Even if you had it on Mars, even if you had it in, you know, if you had it at the day of nationals, like the kids would be there for you. But you know, the point of all of this is that, again, Will is really about to get sad that all the kids are leaving him. And you know, it has nothing to do with the fact that he wants to just marry Emma sooner. He just wants his friends to all be there.
Yes, all of his friends, all of his 19-year-old friends have to be there because he doesn't have anybody else. No Ken Tanakas, no.
It's so sad. It's so true. Like, this is what he needs. This is what he wants. It's like, I get that he has a connection with these kids, right? Like, we get it. He's become very close to them over the years, these past couple of years. But, like, to be out here telling your fiance, like, can we get married next month? Like, like what? Just so that all the I don't know. It's a lot to take in.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of people in Will's life that we get to really meet besides his parents, and we don't see them after season one. So it's, I mean, when they made the shift of the show to being more kid centric, which we all enjoyed, that sort of like does sort of throw Will to the wolves, because then he's forced to just interact with the kids, and then they just, you know, the only adult interaction that we really see is him trying to get Emma. And that lasts an entire season for two. And then we finally get to three. And then it's like, oh, well, now what? Like, who else is he supposed to be talking to now that we've sort of completed this character arc for him? So, yeah, I'm not really sure what they could have done here that doesn't involve maintaining Will as a central character in the show and then making sure that his adult life is really fully fleshed out. But, I mean, I guess this probably wouldn't be too far out of the realm of possibility in real life, because if he stayed in the hometown that he grew up in and he's now teaching at the school that he went to, chances are he really doesn't have a lot of friends. Like, maybe some college buddies, but other than that, I'm sure most of them have left. Yep. You know, like
Coach Beast.
So who is he supposed to talk to besides these kids? And exactly, Coach Beast to Emma.
Yeah.
That's it. And they don't bother developing any of the other teachers here besides, right, you know, Coach Roz Washington, maybe.
And he could have Roz at the wedding. I mean, she'd be a fun time. I would invite her to my wedding.
But I'm sure Roz was invited. I'm sure most of the teachers were invited.
Yeah. You know, it's just the point being that he obviously cares about the kids. And we see that because we're going to go into the Nationals episode. They head for Chicago. Everybody's really trying to get this win. They have failed to get their Nationals win the past 2 years. They didn't even get to Nationals the first year. The kids all get together right before Nationals, you know, Finn leading the way. And they all thank Will for all of his help for all of the 3 years that they've been together. And they vowed that they're going to get this win for him. They, you know, tell him that he is their teacher of a lifetime. They will never have another person in their life like him, another teacher, another anyone like him. And they want to go out there and they want to do this for him. Granted, people like Rachel out here definitely have other motivations. She also has, you know, Carmen Thibodeau coming to watch. Hopefully she's worried about that as well. But at the end of the day, they are doing this for Will and themselves, which they do. They go on, they win Nationals, they get back to school, they have a huge celebration for all of them. There's confetti everywhere. You know, we're singing tongue-tied. The staff are going to throw Will a huge celebration in the faculty room in his honor. Emma even decides that in celebration, they're going to go and do the nasty. So we finally break that barrier that's been, you know, lingering between the two of them since season one of them potentially getting that happening. So that's finally going to happen. So Will has himself an episode here in the Nationals episode, because, of course, by the end of it all, he's going to be awarded the Teacher of the Year award. And Figgins is going to allow Finn and Rachel to go up and present him the award. The kids all sing in celebration to him, with him, we are the champions. And after 3 seasons of being the Glee Club coach, he almost quit. He almost went to Broadway. He almost became an accountant. He almost so many different times did not make it to this point, but they all stuck through. They all pulled together here, got the big win. He got his Teacher of the Year award, a big win for himself. He just fucked his fiance, so he got a win over there. And yeah, hard to say that anything is going, you know, too poorly right now in Will's life.
Yeah, fuck this thing. Oh, man. Yeah. He had a good time. He had a good time. I think it's a fitting ending. It's season 3 is definitely a very satisfying conclusion.
Yeah.
I would say besides the last episode, because the last episode I just don't really, yeah. Well, but that we'll get to that when it's time to talk about Rachel. But But yeah, it's time for him to sort of say goodbye to the kids that, well, at least some of the kids that helped him form the new directions. Like, Mercedes is gone, Rachel is now leaving, Finn is leaving, who else is leaving? Mike, is that it?
There's 7 of them.
Santana.
Rachel and Finn, Quinn and Santana, Mercedes, Puck, Santana, Quinn. Mike, and Puck.
Mm-hmm. And this is some pretty, pretty strong performers. I mean, Finn and Rachel for one, Santana and Mercedes for another, Of course, you're losing Quinn, so there's your, like, all your star, this is your star power, it's all gone. So yeah, I think a lot of us were just really anticipating to see what was going to happen next year in terms of the Glee Club, because yeah, all those kids were leaving.
Yeah.
And I think that it's something that sort of made Mr. Shu a little nervous, but I think that if anything, he was just really, really excited to start next year because of the fact that, yeah, now that they got a win under their belt, he's teaching Glee full time, he's teaching history full time, but you know, he's able to sort of, you know, dedicate more time to Glee because now he doesn't have to fake to know Spanish anymore. And so yeah, I think a lot of people were just really jazzed up going into the next season because new beginnings, new start.
And he already got all the kids' phone numbers by pretending to care about them if they ever got drunk. And he's like, here, take my number. You know, everybody text me. Everybody text me. No, I'm just kidding. But, I mean, he does have their numbers. But, yeah, he sings Forever Young to them to say goodbye to all the seniors. He's, you know, very sad to see them go. But they're all going to graduate. And they go off to send Rachel off to New York. And him and Emma come along, you know, with the rest of the kids as well. So it's really the end of a chapter here. It's very emotional. You know, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, Will should have been the Teacher of the Year. I mean, look, it's we're talking through all of the bad of Will Schuster along the way as well, but like I've said many times, they really just want to make sure that you know how much the kids appreciate him. Sue will come to him many times being like, you're doing some great things with these kids. So we get the general idea that they are trying to hammer home that, like, he is the Teacher of the Year. He got this Nationals win. He did what he's been trying to do, set out to do for 3 years now. So he got the job done and he gets awarded for it in a big way. But before we get out of here in season three, I think it's in your notes as well. Do you see my game that I added? I wanted to play a quick game here. We have the main New Directions kids that are leaving, the seven of them that we just mentioned. So assume that we don't know about what happens after they graduate. I wanted to see, so of these seven kids, there's three options. Will they add Will on Facebook only, and that's the only contact they have with him going forward? Will they keep in regular contact with Will going forward for the rest of their lives? Or will they move on and barely talk to him again, besides, you know, any kind of glee club reunion 5-10 years from now? So we have the seven kids. Tell me what you think.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll start with Rachel. Let's maybe an obvious one.
She's obviously keeping regular contact.
Right. She's definitely, you know.
So is Finn.
Yes. Rachel's a little bit of a question mark, because sure, she like, and we do, you know, kind of see that she's going to keep in contact with him a bit, but like, also like, she's kind of, you know, easily can see her just forgetting about everybody else in her life and moving forward. And, you know, if she ran across Will in the street, she would probably give him a hug and be like, oh my God, it's so good to see you. But also, I'm not the most convinced that she would, you know, talk to him forever and ever. Who knows?
I mean, there's a point there that, you know, considering what happened, I mean, she really had lots of reasons to come back so that she could remind herself of what she'd lost.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that she, because just based off of what she does with her speech at the Oscars, at the Tonys, like, I just feel like that he is some, and he was very invested in her as well. You know what I mean? Like, he would definitely, if anything, he would show up at all of her performances and everything. So I feel like she'd kind of be forced. So I think that she's a B. I think she keeps in regular contact.
Okay.
Quinn. Finn, most certainly. We know that.
Yeah.
Quinn.
Finn definitely.
I think Quinn adds him on Facebook.
I think Quinn's an A, which, yes, adds him on Facebook, yeah. And really not a whole lot of regular contact. I think that's Quinn with most people, but I don't think she, you know, as much as they had a good relationship for a long time while they were, you know, working or in school together or whatever, I don't think she's somebody who's going to be like regularly messaging Will to see how he's doing. And I'm going to say for Puck, I'll say that he moves on and probably barely ever talks to him again in his life, because that's just who Puck is. And I don't think it's anything personal, but I think that's Puck.
He never really had that strong of a relationship with Mr. Shu. I mean, they had their moments, but it was mostly him and Coach Beast. So
mm-hmm, that's for sure. Mike Chang is, he'll keep in regular contact. He'll hit him up with like a TikTok every once in a while. Send him a video, be like, oh yeah, we did this song once.
Yeah, they're probably going to keep, you know, pretty close. Maybe not every day or anything like that, but, you know, mm-hmm. they'll exchange from time to time.
And then we have Santana and Mercedes.
Mercedes.
She'll accept his Facebook friend request. She's not contacting him regularly. She's got big things to do. She does not need no Will Schuster. I mean,
yeah, she's probably an A. I mean, I think it's so hard because like of the fact, because like, we know what happens towards the end, but if we're filling in the blanks, then yeah, she's probably an A. And she'll, you know, she'll say hey whenever she comes to town. She'll probably see him more than most, but mm-hmm. It'll always be in person. It's never really going to be like outside of that.
Yes. And Santana, I think, I don't know. It's between A or C. She's definitely not keeping in regular contact.
I think she's an A. I think she's an A, and I think she probably, I feel like Santana doesn't use Facebook. I feel like
I also felt that, yeah. I felt that as well.
but she's not really on there lurking, so.
I think she adds him on whatever the social media is just to keep tabs on him. Like, she wants to know the gossip. She wants to know what's happening. So I think that she adds him on some, like, it doesn't completely cut ties so that she still knows what's going on back in, like, lame old Will Schuster's life. So I agree with that as well. Mm-hmm. So that was my game that I wanted to, I wanted to just kind of use it to see what, you know, we were thinking of Will's relationship with all of these seniors, as, you know, supposedly it's so great between him and them, but was it strong enough that they actually, you know, feel a bond to him for life? Like, it seems like they suggest that they do, or is it just really Finn and Rachel? So I think what we ultimately decided is it's mostly just Finn and Rachel, but a couple of the other kids will probably still, you know, be interested in his future success and, you know, hope that he lives a happy life kind of thing. So That's that. But we move on in to season four. With all those kids are off graduating, and we still have a couple of the underclassmen sticking around, so that's good. And we've got a bunch of new kids that are going to move on into the scene here, and we're going to get into season four. The new directions are back for another year. We got to get some new members around here. Time to have a competition to find out who the new Rachel is. Auditions are getting held for just to get in. Marley shows up. She's great. Jake shows up. He's great. But we're going to get some drama here early on, where Jake gets cut off mid-audition, and Jake does not take that too kindly. And this whole thing kind of leads into Will finding out that Jake is Puck's half-brother, and he's going to then work a little bit extra hard to get Jake to join, not just because of the whole Puck brother thing. Like, he did say, and I do believe him when he said that, like, he cut Jake off because he knew that he was good and he was going to accept him. But the fact that Will is, like, stupid and didn't tell him that, it's like, why, like, what do you expect? Like, you cut him off in the middle of singing. Like, say, don't even, you know, go no further. You're good. You're in. But he just cuts him off and he's like, thank you, that, like, we've heard enough. So he's like a dick to him there, whatever. And this ends up just being, like, a good thing for Jake, because he's going to end up bringing Jake and Puck together to meet each other for the first time. And Jake will eventually come around and join the Glee Club. But there's, like, a 2-episode arc there of having this all play out.
I think Jake was mostly in the wrong there. I mean, he doesn't have to tell you that you're getting in at the audition. That's a little unprofessional, especially if there's other kids waiting in line to audition. Jake was going to be a tough cookie no matter what, and there really wasn't anything that Mr. Shu could do. Like, he was kind of like, looked offended at Jake when Jake was like, no, I'm not changing. I like this chip on my shoulder. I'm not going to change just because, you know, my brother. And Mr. Shu was like, what? I just used all my, like, best teacher speech shit on you. Like, what the hell? Like, it's not going to be that easy, Mr. Shu. Like, the era of the first batch of kids is over. Now you got some new bitches up in here, and they're going to be different. Not all Puckermans are created equal.
Yes.
Let's just say that.
Yeah, so he works hard on Jake, even though Jake is going to give him a hard time after all that. So he ends up getting him into the Glee Club, and everything is, you know, totally fine. So not much happens out of that. You know, it seems like there might be some kind of like, oh, is Jake going to be the new Finn? Is Jake going to be the new, like, person that Will puts all of his attention on to, you know, whatever? But
yeah,
that's not the case. They probably never speak another word to each other. So not happening. but we're going to go into in season four here, as we get to this early on portion of the season, that Finn is eventually going to come back. We'll get to that in a second. But the story here is going to be as Will decides to take a step away from the school, take a step away from the Glee Club here in season four. Sue is actually going to be one of the first people who kind of puts this into motion. She comes to Will as Will's like struggling to come up with ideas for the Glee Club. She's like, well, you won nationals and now you have nothing to really look forward to. Like, you already did what you've been trying to do. Like, sure, you can go get another win, but you accomplished what you've been trying to accomplish. Might as well bow out now, go find something new for yourself, which is like a kind of like her trying to be friendly and give him advice that like may actually be beneficial to him. She knows he still wants to be a performer, but also be, you know, also kind of her just trying to get him out of the school, because that's still Sue. So Will actually finds out about this new committee, the Blue Ribbon Panel, where there is going to be a group of people that go to speak to Congress, or I think it's Congress, and talk about the different changes that they can make in the whole country in regards to the arts. They also have the annual show choir committee is now meeting at the school. So he's working to, you know, on a very small level, get more arts, more money for the arts within like the schools around him. But he's trying to potentially maybe take it to like the bigger stage and do something even more with the passion that he has for the arts that he's built up for all these years now. So he fills out some applications, but ends up not sending it in because he realizes that if he does get in, he's going to have to leave McKinley for a few months, and he's going to talk about it with Emma. She doesn't want to say no to him, but she also doesn't really want to ruin their new life together. They're engaged now. They're still planning for the wedding. But she does eventually come around and say, look, if this is something you really want to do, the wedding can wait and you should apply. So he ends up going to Sue and telling her, all right, you know what? I think you're right. This is probably something I should do. And he asks her for a letter of recommendation since she knows him so well. And she's like, oh, I already got it. Here you go. This is it. I already wrote it. But she says to him, you know, I this time, like, I want you to leave. I want you out of the school, but like in a good way this time. I think that this would be a good thing for you. And as I mentioned, Finn is soon now going to come along and kind of swoop into that spot. So this is maybe the end of an era if this is going to go well for Will.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like the logical next choice for him to step up and try to go over the heads of the people to actually get some new arts in the school. So, yeah, I mean, I like this venture for him, it kind of takes him out of the mix of the club, which, you know, is going to ultimately be the literary device to give Finn the club, which I don't necessarily know if that's the most realistic thing to try and do, because Finn literally has no training at all. But yeah, I think this is a really logical next step for him. It kind of defeats the whole purpose of him like helping Bert get into Congress last season. Like, if you were going to ultimately go ahead and go to Washington, then why didn't you just do this last time? You know,
he didn't get his win, and then he wanted to get the win.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. He couldn't necessarily leave then and there. That's true. But yeah.
Yeah, like, so Finn shows back up. You know, obviously we see how Finn is not really sure what his next step in life is, and he comes back, and him and Will are very happy to see each other. They catch up. Finn is going to get involved planning Greece along with all of, you know, with the rest of the Glee kids, because that's what they're doing for the year. And while all that's happening, Will finds out he was officially selected for the panel. He asks Emma to come with him. She wants to, if he wants her to come along, you know, so they can continue living their life together, but it kind of turns into a bit of an argument, which is enough of a tiff between the two of them that it turns into not a breakup, but they end up in the scientists singing about how how bad everything has gotten. In the next episode, though, Will is going to Will and Emma both go to Coach Beast talking about, you know, this issue that they're having, and Coach Beast is going to urge them to compromise, see if you can come up with an answer that fits both of you. But Emma ends up saying, okay, I'll go with you. If you really want me to go, I'll go with you. Like, you be there for me next time I need you. I'll be there for you this time. And, you know, Emma is going to agree. But Coach Beast knows that Emma is not actually excited about this, does not actually want to go. So Emma is going to take Coach Beast's advice and go talk to Will about it again and just say, look, I would much rather feel close to you while you're far away than be forced to be together with you and resent you for the fact that you're making me go. I like my life here in Ohio. I like my life teaching at McKinley and being a guidance counselor. I like doing all that. I don't want to take this break to go follow you around and be in hotel rooms while you're talking to, you know, important people. I think this is awesome for you, but I don't think that's where I need to be. So they're going to, you know, go through all of that. And I think they eventually, you know, end up coming to a conclusion that, let's do what you say, Emma. Let's, you know, you do you.
And I think this is complete bullshit from Will. I mean, I think the fact that he wants her to drop everything really is crazy. I mean, I understand not wanting to go alone and wanting her next to you, but that's crazy, Will. Like, that's not fair to her. It's not fair. It's really not fair to you either, because I mean, what are the two of you going to do together there? Which is supposed to just like start teaching, and you are supposed, like, you're going to Congress, right? Like, you have constituents. Like, you're supposed to still be in Ohio anyway. Like, you're not supposed to be in Washington at all times. So in a lot of ways, I never really was a fan of this storyline, because it seemed a little bit contrived. They seemed like, oh, let's create some more conflict between Emma and Will, because even though they're married, that doesn't mean that trouble stops. But it was just so like, ugh, whatever.
They say, you know, we need to give Will something to do for a couple of episodes while Finn takes over the Glee Club and takes over the role he was born to play. Yeah. And while we wait for the episode to happen in, you know, the wedding episode for episode 14, we gotta do something in the meantime. So they do something in the meantime. So, yeah, he's going to go off to the panel and explore that next step in his life. And when he comes home, we find out that everything, you know, went well there. It was all pretty good. So Finn's going to take over coaching the Glee Club officially while Will is gone, which is going to come into a whole lot of problems between Sue and Will/Finn. She is very annoyed that Finn is taking over with his zero qualifications, but more to come with that on their podcast. So Will and Finn have one final conversation, some parting advice he tries to give to Finn, but Finn confidently looks at him and tells him, I've got it. I'm good. I'm good here. And Will doesn't argue. Finn seems to know what he's doing. He's been through this for 3 years now. He knows, you know, and again, if this is the role he was born to play, I think they both feel confident that he'll be able to do this well. Unfortunately for Will.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for Will, when he does come back and it is time to get to the wedding, the past couple of weeks have not gone down very well. Emma has been stressing and Finn did not help.
Yeah, so he went on and tried to be a crusader for the arts, but he wasn't a very strong crusader for his own marriage because he left Emma with all of the planning for the wedding, all of the ins and outs, all of the do's and don'ts, and the I do's and I don'ts. Just everything. He left it all to her. She's been flailing out and really just not firing on all cylinders while he's been away. And then when he does eventually come home, he just wants to kind of reap the benefits of all of the work that she'd had been doing on her own. Now, while this all happened, Finn was, you know, around a lot more and helping, you know, her with, you know, some of the small things that he could help her with, you know, and getting a little close to her because, I mean, he even invites her to be, you know, a part of the Glee Club during one of the lessons, during Diva Week and everything, being a celebrity judge. And the next thing you know, he's in his office kissing her. Mm. Or in her office kissing her. Like, right before the wedding is supposed to happen. So he comes, like, Mr. Shu comes home all gung-ho, ready to get married. And so it's the day of the wedding, and the wedding does not happen because Emma is a runaway bride. She's up out of here. And he is left to figure out what the hell is going on. Finn is going to be very, very, like, proactive and be like, you need to go get her, you need to go find out what happened, you need to go get your girl, you never told us to never give up, so what's going on with you, go find her. And he's like, look, like, I can't force her to want to be with me, like, I had to you know, see what's going on. So Finn kind of is the one that's proactive in trying to locate Emma, finds out that Emma is at her sister's house hiding away. And so Mr. Shu grabs all of the Glee kids, literally all the Glee kids, the entirety of New Direction shows up at Emma's sister's house in the snow and sings, what did they sing again?
In Your Eyes.
In Your Eyes.
In Your Eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Your Eyes.
Yeah, to wind it back a little bit, I mean, he realizes when the bad thing happens at the wedding, when she runs away, he realizes pretty immediately that this is kind of on him because he left her for so long to do all this wedding planning, and he knows in the back of his head that he did not do anywhere near enough. He definitely could tell that she was stressing about it, but just hoped that we would show up at the big day and everything would be fine. And, you know, Finn's obviously not helping at all because he knows what happened and he's not sharing that with Will. And if that's also a contributing factor to why Emma leaves, which we have to assume that it is, he's missing out on half the information here. So, you know, he comes to Finn saying, like, can you sing at the wedding rather than giving the best man speech? Everybody's so excited for it. And Will has absolutely no idea what's about to happen to him on that wedding day. So, you know, the day comes, Emma panics, she leaves. And, you know, all of this also from the Sue aspect of things, Sue got involved there because she was trying to get back at Will for leaving Finn in charge of the Glee Club because she is that petty. And you know what? When you're that petty, I almost respect it because, yeah. But so, yeah, Emma's gone. And the rest of the episode about the wedding really has nothing to do with Will. I mean, it turns into, like, everybody just going to town, you know, with their significant others in the hotel rooms. But, yeah, like you mentioned, Finn does try to lead the charge to help find Emma. When they do eventually find Emma and he sings to her and she comes down to talk to him, she explains to him, she's like, when you got back from DC, I just felt like I had no idea who you were anymore. It was just, you were all hyped up on all this stuff, like on what you just did, which I'm happy for you. But, like, we were about to have a wedding and it just did not feel like we were about to get married. Like, that's not what the energy was there anymore. And Will understands. He's like, look, I think we just kind of need to, you know, hit the reset button here. Try all over again. Can I take you out on a date Friday night? And she agrees. So, you know, we're all good on that end of things. But after the two of them are good.
Still not going to get married.
Still not going to get married just yet. After the two of them, you know, agree to this date. Will is eventually going to find out the truth as he goes back home. You know, they go back to Ohio and Finn, you know, way too late here, but better late than never, I guess, is going to come
Finn
to Will.
Finn tells him, it's not your baby.
And admit it's not your baby. And admit it's not your Glee Club. And admit I kissed your girl.
Slept with your wife.
Yeah. The truth is revealed and Will cannot believe what he is hearing.
Yeah, this sucks. I think, so I both like and don't necessarily like how this plays out. Because, well, first, I think it's just crazy to have Finn kiss Emma. But on top of that, I think that I wanted a little bit more anger from Will here, because the next episode starts seemingly in its feud, and they make it into this whole thing where Will is sending Finn on all of the errands for the Glee Club and undermining him and being rude to him and complimenting Ryder for being able to play football and have a nice singing voice. They really turned it into like this caricature of a feud, right? But I really wanted, you know, him to be a little more upset with Finn, because just think about what happened to him so far. Like, you were about to have a baby that wasn't yours. You find out that it's not yours after like months and months of deception. And then all this stuff with Emma happens. You go through all of this work to get to a really good place with Emma. And then Finn of all people, and this is, I guess, you know, you can blame himself for this, because, I mean, maybe that's why you shouldn't be having, you know, having a best friend that's 19. But he ruined the one thing that you have been working for 3 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then it sort of just like gets blown over mm-hmm. in 2 episodes. And I'm like, really? Like, I feel like Finn should be out of here. I feel like there should be yelling. Maybe even a thrown punch. Maybe. Like, it's just, you kissed my fiance?
And I
don't know.
And I know I was, you know, kind of saying, I guess, at the time when we went through these episodes, is that I get all of the high stakes involved here, but it kind of always came back to me of like remembering that Finn is a 19-year-old guy, like 19. I do stupid things now still, and I'm 26. When I was 19, I did even stupider things. When I was 15, I did even stupider things. Being that young, you don't do things that are always the wisest move. And no, that is no excuse for, like, you know, freely, like, murdering somebody. That's no excuse for, like, doing awful things in the world. But it's just...
Freely murdering.
Do not do that just because you're 19. You do not have the choir room's permission on that. But, look, he didn't have sex with her. He kissed her very quickly. He regretted it immediately. And for sure, he was in the wrong. For sure, he should have told Will sooner. But I will always, I think, feel like Will's reaction to it is a little over the top and a little like, you know, sure, be upset with him. Sure, not want to be his best friend anymore if you can handle that. I know you're not really, you know, good on losing a best friend here, especially being Finn. But I don't know. Just the whole way that it all plays out is just, you know, and the, like in the next episode, let's keep on moving into it. So Will has Finn doing like intern chores for him, like get my coffee, do this, do that, and like treating Finn like he's like a lackey, like he's just like, do all this for me. Finn's obviously getting annoyed by it. All the kids realize that they're fighting, and they're, you know, the kids end up assigning them, you guys are going to sing a mashup, an epic feud from musical history or whatever, like you're going to do that together and perform it out. Will's like, I'm going to kick your ass, Finn, like genuinely, like I said it like a joke, but like he genuinely wants to kick Finn's ass through music, and it's like, you're so dramatic, but whatever, it's fine, do that. So they do the performance. They perform Bye Bye Bye, I Want It That Way, a very epic performance mashup there for that Glee did. I enjoy it. Excited to get to it on the countdown. And then afterwards, it's like, okay, we did it. We sang through it, right? Like, that's how we do it on Glee. We sing through it. But no, I mean, Finn agrees to try to give him a hug, and Will's like, I'm just not ready to do that yet. I don't think that I'm ready to forgive
you. As you shouldn't be.
So, fine. Cool. Finn says, I understand. There's nothing I can say or do to get your trust back. So Finn decides that he's going to leave. He's going to leave the school and stop being here, stop being around Will, give Will some space. He doesn't even get paid to be here. So he's going to go, you know, find his next step, his next path in life. You know, he has a conversation with Marley where Marley's going to kind of inspire him to maybe go to school so he can become a teacher on his own. So Finn's going to go off on his own thing. And Will for now is going to, you know, stay here and kind of calm down a little bit. And I guess we probably should just keep this all together, even though they put like the shooting star episode in between, and I don't care about that. But when we go to resolve all of this, it's a couple episodes later. So, you know, I guess a couple weeks later in real time, Will's going to come to Finn, and he hasn't talked to him at all, but Coach Beast is actually the one who insists, like, you probably should give him a chance, see what he has to say kind of thing, because Coach Beast, always the voice of reason. So he's going to go stop by Finn's school and apologize, actually. He's, you know, I didn't handle this all the right way. I'm sorry. I want you to come back. I think we should be able to, you know, make this up. But Finn already applied for school. Now he's out here, you know, living up the college life with Puck. Like, he's like, oh, I'm too busy out here partying with, like, slip and slides in the middle of the hallway. So it takes us a while to get there. And I agree with you that I do think that it's kind of messy, quick, weird. But also, I guess we do have to kind of keep the context of it does seem like Cory Monteith in, you know, real life was maybe going through some things that were preventing him from, obviously, soon after this episode films, he's going to enter rehab. So it does seem like maybe there was more behind the scenes that was preventing this from being told the full story or anything like that. So they might have had to make it a little bit quicker than we would have liked, unfortunately. But that is how it all plays out. Yes. So,
yeah. I always wonder, like, what was the original plan for the ending of season four? Because I think that the plan for him to go and, like, get his teaching degree was always going to be a thing no matter what. Mm-hmm. But I do wonder if, like, I mean, he wasn't in the finale in any of that. So, like, I always wonder, like, what was in the original draft. So I wonder if they'll ever, like, really release that. Like, will we ever get, like, a really fully fledged official Glee documentary where they go into all the stuff that was meant to happen but didn't? Because I would love that.
No, we won't. Maybe
they just don't want to unearth it.
No, we're never getting anything more from that. And I don't blame anybody for not wanting to do that. It's just, we're at a point now where it's just, like, looking back and, you know, creating new content.
At the same time, I feel like with time, with more and more time,
yeah, but like, you would say that, like, and then, like, unfortunately, it seems like every couple of years, there's just more reason to not do it, you know? So.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's
but,
a good point.
I think I cut myself off while I was finishing out the story. Finn does end up coming back. He accepts Will's apology eventually, and he's like, I want to be treated like an equal. I don't want to be treated, you know, like an intern. They hug and they make up, and everything is fine. Marley's going to go off and write her original songs for regionals. Will's going to be a dick to her about that because he doesn't want her to, but she does it. she performs them anyway. He eventually comes back around and stops being so angry. I guess
Marley,
he lets
said,
out the
all or nothing, and he said, okay, well then nothing.
There you go.
Like the asshole he is.
So he's done being angry with Marley, with the kids. He apologizes to all of them for all of that. And, you know, Finn's back.
I mean, they just went through, like, a shooting, for goodness sake. Like, surely, like, no one got hurt, yeah. But, like, it was still a gun went off twice in the school. And they're all, like, dealing with their shit. And he's, like, yelling at them. I'm like, God damn. Like, do you need to go to therapy?
Yeah.
So, you can take a couple of days off, too.
Swinging back around to that, the school shooting, I passed it over to kind of wrap up the Will and Finn of it all. But the fact that, yeah, I mean, I don't need to rehash the school shooting episode every single time that we get to this podcast, these podcasts. But as far as it pertains to Will, like, the fact that his whole role in this is kind of just furthering his relationship with Coach Beast, who comes to him saying that, you know, I really like you. I really think that I want to be with you. And Will's like, oh, I just got back together with Emma. That's so unfortunate that this can't happen. And then ends up, you know, kind of helping Coach Beast along with the dating life. So there's really nothing significant here to talk about that we haven't already, you know, talked about how awful it is. But let's just remind everybody that Will and Coach Beast are good friends. Yay!
Yeah, I mean, it's so out of place. But yeah, that's just there. It's for the stakes of the shooting, which, I mean, I think that, you know, if we're going to talk about Will in a vacuum here, I think that he does everything that he could do in the situation, protects the students, tries to keep them quiet, keeps them barricaded in the choir room, tries to go looking for more to say that in case there were anybody out there. Which, well, actually, I don't know if that's proper protocol, because I feel like you're supposed to just try and stay. Maybe, like, leave. Well, I guess he did leave them with Coach Beast, but still, like, looking for more people might not be the best idea, because you could just be attracting the shooter to more people, so I don't know. But the episode within itself, like, we've talked about it enough, so mm-hmm. We can just keep going.
Yeah, and the only other thing there is just another check-in with Will and Sue. They, you know, she did not do him any favors at the wedding, but she is going to end up having, you know, the gun situation all falls down on her because she's the one who admits to it on behalf of Becky. Will pretty much can figure out that Sue is lying about what's going on here, about everything that she confesses to, so he tries to ask her about it, but she's not gonna, you know, tell him the truth at all right now. She's still covering for Becky, so, you know, she's gonna head out and ask Will to keep an eye on Becky, but that's just what the two of them are up to. But to close out the season here, what else is happening in season four? So he agrees that they get to do original songs. He, like I said, apologizes to all of them because he was a pretty huge dick to them. Like, all the Glee kids there is like, no, we're not doing your songs, we're doing mine. He gets a call from Rachel, which is actually his first interaction with Rachel, right, in season four? Unless there was anything in the breakup that I'm forgetting. Nope, there wasn't. It was just them singing on the stage together. Rachel finally contacts Will to tell him about how she is a finalist for the Fanny Bryce role. She's very thankful to him for helping her get there. Will tells her that he re-proposed to Emma, and she re-accepted, so that's how we find out that news. And Will's going to give us
oh, we're still on that?
We're still doing that? I thought that was done. And Will's going to create a wonderful assignment for the week because of the wonderful news that he just got from Rachel, so... him and Rachel checking back in there, confirming what we talked about earlier, that yes, they will keep in regular contact, and more of that to come in seasons 5 and 6. And then the finale episode, which is really not about Will, but it's all about Brittany, which we love to see. But he gets to make his appearance on Fondue for Two. Brittany's going to grill him about,
yeah,
are you going to continue having strange relationships with high school kids for the rest of your life? But,
yeah,
she's heading out.
It's a really just a Brittany intervention episode to understand why the hell she's acting like she's acting. And they say goodbye to Brittany, and then they get married.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Cool. I mean, the goodbyes are pretty sad with Brittany, especially, mm-hmm. like when it pertains to Will. She's talking about how Will was like a father to her for all those years. So, you know, Brittany's goodbyes are emotional with everybody. But we get, you know, that bit of content there. We go back. We get married. Mercedes, Kurt, Santana, Mike, and all of the current New Directions are there. Obviously not all of them, which was what Will was hoping for when he and Emma had that freak out a couple months back about, you know, I really want to get married for last season. Actually, I want to make sure all the kids are there. And I do think that all of them would have been there if it wasn't for the fact that Corey Monteith wasn't available to be filming those episodes. Like, they might have made more of an effort to be like, oh, let's get Rachel and Kurt somehow match. Or Kurt was there. Let's get everybody there. But, you know, when it seemed that Finn couldn't be there, they just kind of kept it as like a small group for whoever was in, you know, in town or whatever it was. So, they get married. It's finally done. They have sealed the deal. 4 seasons in, we have gotten the happy couple to be wed.
Finally. Yeah. It's been a long time coming. They finally have a knot. And hopefully season 5 isn't going to be about them getting a divorce, because what will it have all been for? What does it all mean? Yeah, but that's pretty much season 4 for Will. I mean, he's kind of like out of the picture, and you know, towards the middle portion of the season, and then he kind of comes back, fights with Finn, sends Finn off, then fights with Marley, comes around on Marley, and then gets them to come to the wedding.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Well, I mean, Emma kind of bum rushes him into getting married in the choir room, so yep. There's that. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, like you said, he's kind of out of action for the majority of the season with the not the majority, that's dramatic, but like for a bit of the season there, while Finn takes over, ends up coming back, has to deal with some issues between Emma, between himself and Emma, between himself and Finn. They hammer all those issues out for the most part. He's married now. Him and Finn are cool again. We'll get into season 5 and, of course, how he's going to end up taking, reacting to Finn's unfortunate death there in season 5. But we'll get into all of that in part 3. For now, let's have some fun if we can, if that's a thing you can do while you listen to Will Schuster performances, and get into his songs if you are ready. Are you ready? We've got 15 songs to get to today.
I'm ready.
Okay, I'm ready too. We have, we already did the bottom 10 songs for Will, so today we're going to go from number 30 up through number 16. So let's get right on into it with Will Schuster, song number 30.
Busted! Here's a tale for all the fellas trying to do what those ladies tell us. Get shot down cause you're overzealous. Play hard to get females, get jealous. Okay, smarty, go to a party. Girls are scantily clad and showing body. A chick walks by and you wish you can sex her, but you're standing on the wall like you was Poindexter. Movie showing, so you're going. Could care less about the vibe you're blowing. Theater gets dark just to start the show, and then you spot a fine woman sitting in your row. She's dressed in yellow, she says hello. Come sit next to me, you fine fellow. You run over there without a second to lose. And what comes next? Hey, bust the move.
You want it, you got it, you
has a brother Larry. In 5 days from now, he's gonna marry. He's hoping you can make it there if you can, cause in the ceremony, you'll be the best man. You say neato, check your libido, and roll to the church in your new tuxedo. The bride walks down just to start the wedding, and there's one more girl you won't be getting. So you start thinking, then you start blinking. A bridesmaid looks and thinks that you...
All right, we got this far in this countdown so far. You're telling me we went through 10 songs at the bottom of Will's list before we got to any rapping? That's incredible. So here we have at number 30, Will Schuster, season one, Bust Move.
Yo, Chris Colfer really had a glow up, man. He looks so different nowadays compared to how he looked in season one of Glee. Even into season two, he looked different. Like, he just, is it the hair? It's the hair.
So Will Schuster.
Oh, yeah, him. Okay, so, yeah, this is fine.
No, it's not. Maybe it's
90s
fine.
Classic. He can certainly move. I think the best part of this performance is when Santana, Matt, Brittany, and Mike dance. And those are my thoughts.
Other than that, I don't know what we're doing here, but that's, you know, the early days of the Will Schuster raps here. So he's going to show the kids how it's done because he does that.
Look, this was in the 90s, right? That's when this song came out, right? Like, this was when he was like, what, 20, 21? This is his heyday, okay? So he's just reliving his shit.
Yeah, and then how do we justify when he's actually... No, okay, so I'm sorry, we didn't get through no raps. We did have him doing some Macklemore in the first part. I forgot about that, but...
When I was in the third grade, I thought I was gay because I like colored pencils.
Okay, number 29. My hair. Let's move up to number 29. Let's kick it. All right, stop. Collaborate and listen. Ice is back with a brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly. Flow like a harpoon daily and nightly. Will it ever stop? Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights, huh? And I'll glow to the extreme. I rock a mic like a vandal. Light up a stage and wax a chump like a candle. Dance. Go rush a speaker that booms. I'm killing your brain like a poisonous mushroom. Deadly. When I play a dope melody, anything less than the best is a felony. Love it or hate it. You better gang way. You better hit the bullseye. The kid don't play. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ revolves it. Lyrical poet. My name is on the scene just in case you didn't know it. My town that created all the bass sound. Enough to shake and kick holes in the ground. Cause my style's like a chemical spill. Feasible rhymes you can vision and feel. Conduct and inform, that's a hell of a concept. We make it hype and you wanna step with this. Shape plays on the fade. Slice like a ninja, cut like a razor blade so fast. Ice, Ice Baby from also season one here. Same thing as the last one.
So my favorite part of this performance is when Matt, Santana, Mike, and Brittany dance.
So we're pretty much where we were, yes.
Yeah. Yep. Well, you know, one thing that I will say about Mr. Shu is that I like the fact that he actually performs, you know, like he knows what he's talking about. Like he can dance. And I mean, it just goes to show that like there's a reason why they keep winning all of these sectionals, because even, yeah, maybe he's not like, you know, vocal adrenaline, having them do a bunch of acrobatics, but he knows how to create an aesthetic and a piece for each song. Like, he knows how to curate dances for songs. I think that that's a talent that some choreographers don't always have. You have choreographers that sort of specialize in one thing, whereas he sort of is like a jack of all trades. He's certainly better at certain styles of dances than others, but at least he knows how to be a bit of a Renaissance man when it comes to that.
Sure.
So there we are.
There we are. Ice Ice Baby from season one. Will Schuster is just cannot be stopped. And I mean it. Four seasons later, here in season five, in song number 28, Will Schuster just cannot be stopped.
I cannot imagine what goes on in your lumpish, sexually ambiguous heads.
Because they're nuts. Every one of them is crazy.
Becky, you may be right. We may be crazy.
Oh, no, don't you dare. Over my dead body, will you inexplicably shoehorn in another Billy Joel song just to punctuate one of your weekly lessons that inevitably veers off into a saccharine barrage of angst and affirmation?
Friday night, I crashed your party. Saturday, I said I'm sorry. Sunday came and trashed me out again. And you told me not to drive, but I made it home alive. So you said that only proves that I'm in
lunatic. But it just may be a lunatic you're looking for. Turn out the lights. Don't try to save me. You may be wrong.
All right, I hate to say this, but, like, I don't know, some of these, like, scenes like this, like, when they're not doing Blurred Lines and they have the whole school, like, High School Musicaling it up in the hallway, I'm like, I would have some fun if this was reality, but it's not. There it is. You may be right at number 28.
This is my least favorite song of all of the Billy Joel songs. I like almost every, I think I like every other song in this episode besides this one. But, I mean, you gotta give Mr. Shu something to do.
I guess you have to.
I feel so like, oh my god, these like reviews are so bad. But I don't really have that much positive to say. I mean, he sounds great. He sounds fine.
No, I mean, I said this like for part one. It's like, oh, a lot of the Will Schuster songs are going to be pretty similar commentary, at least from my end of things, and maybe from yours as well. It's like, okay, cool. He did that. It's just, it's a Will Schuster performance here. You may be right, coming in number 28 from season 5, episode 6. And we go back to season 1 for some more of the great old Will Schuster season 1.
When I'm in need, yeah, she's a trifling friend indeed. Oh, she's a gold digger way over town that digs on me. She gives me money.
Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke, bro.
She gives me money.
Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke, bro. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead.
Could
be the mom that are at a beauty salon with the baby Louis Vuitton under her underarm. She said, I can tell you rock, I can tell by your charm. Farmers, girls, you got a flock. I can tell by your charm and your arm, but I'm looking for the one. Have you seen her?
No, we ain't seen her.
Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke, bro. Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke, bro. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down.
All right, Gold Digger, season 1, episode 2, very early on, Will begins the process of showing them how it's done.
I just, what, like, why does he have to get all of these? I just don't get it. Like, why can't any of the kids do this?
Because he has to show them how it's done.
Like, but he's done it 3 times now.
This is the first one. And there might be another one. I don't remember. Or maybe this might be it for the Will with the Glee kids.
Like, I get the LOL of it all. I get the LOL of, oh, look at this white guy doing all this rap. Look at that. Isn't he so
Matty Fresh.
If you do it once, but why a bunch of times?
There's a reason our podcast description talks about, you know, we're bringing you all the Glee content from the Will Schuster raps to the Adele mashups. That is what we hear.
And
why
the hell is Kurt not living for Mercedes at the beginning of this performance? Like, she's,
he says she looks like a Technicolor zebra.
But she sounds so great, and he's looking at her like she's crazy.
I mean, look at his outfit. I don't know what he's worried about. But that it is. That is that, Gold Digger, season 1, episode 2. We move on to number 26. Let's run away from these season 1 songs.
I want to tell you a story about the house rent blues. I come home on Friday, had to tell the landlady I done lost my job. She said, that don't come for me, long as I get my money next Friday. Now next Friday come, I didn't get the rent, and at the door I went.
One bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
Well, I ain't seen my baby since I don't know when. I've been drinking bourbon, whiskey, scotch and gin. Gonna get high, man, I'm gonna get loose. Need me a triple shot of that juice. Gonna get drunk, don't you have no fear. I want one bourbon, one scotch, and one beer.
One bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
Okay, there's that song, and I do not believe we'll ever have to revisit it again, which isn't me trying to be a super big hater. It's just not my thing. One bourbon, one scotch, one beer. Season 2, Coach Beast, Will Schuster. There it is. Blah, blah, blah.
Let's keep going.
Okay. Number 25. Number 25.
Turn off the lights. We're going to lose our minds tonight. What's the deal?
I love when it's all too much. 5 a.m. Turn the radio up. Where's the rock and roll? Party crasher, penny snatcher. Call me. Why so serious?
So raise your glass if you are wrong. In all the right ways, all my underdogs. We will never be anything but loud. And maybe gritty, dirty little freaks. Won't you come on and raise your glass. Just come on and raise your glass. Won't you come on and raise your glass.
Now tell me this. I mean, I know what we said about the episode when we watched it, but like, doesn't it feel a little bit different looking at like this video pulled out of context from the rest of the episode? Because like, we get to that episode and we're like, oh, we're supposed to be having a whole lot of fun here, but then like, they just jump right into a Raise Your Glass performance, and the whole two episodes back to back feel like a little underwhelming. But if I just watch this alone, I'm like, oh wow, that was so much fun.
I think it's because it's too much of this, right? I mean, it does. I mean, on its own, it's fine, but we have too much of the performances of it all and not enough of the character moments. I mean, yeah. And the biggest character moments that we really get are, you know, Rachel versus Mercedes and then Santana versus Rachel. And then that's pretty much it. Like, we don't get, like, there really should be more interaction between these new kids and the old kids. We need more of that. Like, that's what I thought we were going to get in Glee 100. I thought we were finally going to meld the two worlds that had been so separated for so
like
long.
A crossover, and yeah.
Nothing. Yeah, yeah, there was nothing. Like, the Thanksgiving episode is better than this. Like, come on.
Yeah, it definitely let us down when we got to episodes 100 and 101, both of them being there in season 5. It's fun, like I said, to like watch back this video and you see all of the old directions and the new directions all together here with Will and April singing Raise Your Glass. I mean, is it the song that we needed to happen again? No, but the Glee fans voted on a song they wanted to hear again. They did this one. They did it over. And it's, yeah, like I'm saying, like pulled out of context, it's like, oh, wow, look at all these kids having a great time singing along with Kristen Chenoweth again. Like, we're having
fun. I always
here.
Forget that they had us
the vote.
Voting.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, I didn't participate in the vote, and then I had complained when songs that I thought that should be there weren't there.
I definitely voted. Okay. Definitely voted. Don't know if I voted for this one. I don't remember.
I just realized that for the first time that Kevin McHale is slapping Kristen Chenoweth on the booty, and I'm sure that he was living for that.
I did not catch that, but I'll take your word. I'll go back later. So there's Raise Your Glass, the season 5 version with Will and April. And let's move on to number 24. 24.
If you're not home, I sit here on your doorstep, button up my coat and wait. We'll go upstairs, close the curtains, and we're all set to pick up where we left again. There's question marks hanging over us, but we won't give the time of day, oh. 'Cause all we got is these few stolen seconds, and we can't let them go to waste. Stars collide, we come back to life, we come back to life. The sparks will fly, one love.
That song, okay, so that is from New York, from the season 2 finale where they go to New York and Will gets to sing his, Matthew Morrison gets to sing his original song from his album up on the stage there. I don't know if it's a song he wrote. I think he did, but it's from his album there. And I feel like that should have gotten a bigger moment for him. Like, I feel like, because I feel like I would guess 90% of people listening to this right now were like, what song is this? What am I listening to right now? Because it's so forgettable. It's so fleeting. It's such a passing moment here. But I don't dislike the song. It's okay.
I mean, a moment for him from who, though? Because I feel like...
Like, it's just, it's like, we're at the finale of season two. Like, the New Directions get their big moment up on the stage in their Nationals performance. They do Light Up the World, and, like, this is essentially, like, Will's big moment to close out the season, but it's just, since it's not a song that anyone's familiar with, and it's not, like, a song that's going to get picked up by Glee mm-hmm. fans to be like, oh, this is such a great Glee cover, or whatever, it's just, it kind of completely gets forgotten.
Right. I mean, that's what the people, I mean, yeah, the kids don't watch this show for him. They don't watch this show for original songs, for the most part. They just want to see their favorite songs get sung by their favorite teenagers, and Will is not in either of those categories. Yeah. So... I mean, this was them getting back at Mark Salling for trying to do his own music thing at the beginning of season two. They was like, this is how you do it. Like, if you want us to feature your music on our show, then you be a goody two shoes, and then we'll put you in the finale.
Maybe.
That's the kind of energy I'm getting from this.
Sure. I definitely, you know, if I was ever going to download Matthew Morrison's music, I would go to this song, but, or I would download whatever the album is, but that's probably not something I'm ever going to do. So maybe I'm being a hypocrite by saying anything.
I mean, have you done it to this day?
I just said no. I just said that's something I'm never doing. So I don't know. It's good. Here's me giving it its 5 minutes, or if that, 2 minutes of praise, as I swiftly move on into song number 23.
Young teacher, the subject of schoolgirl fantasy. She wants him so badly, knows what she wants to be. With all the charms of a woman, you've kept the secret of your youth. Bookmark it, she's so close now. This girl is half his age. Don't stand, don't stand so, don't stand so close to me. Young girl, you're out of your mind. Your love for me is way out of line. Better run, girl, you're much too young.
Don't Stand So Close to Me, mashed up with Young Girl, as Will is singing to Emma / Rachel to get the crush off of him. But it's not very effective, because who can resist the dreamy, charming Will Schuster and all that hair and the butt chin and the songs?
Me, I can. Pick me. No, I like this performance. I think this, I mean, it's got some comedy there. He sounds great on it. I think this is more his lane. He's trying to tell Rachel to stand the fuck away from him, which I think all of us would do well to tell Rachel to do. So, yeah, this is a good one. I feel like we're finally getting into the ones that I can appreciate now. Yay!
It's fun to see. Progress. It's fun to see Rachel and Emma both, like, even if it is, like, kind of ridiculous, it is fun to see them both, like, fawning over him and, like, not able to, like, breathe while he's performing, because they're just like, oh, my God. So, yeah, it's funny.
Never mind. Let me stop talking shit about Ohio since Mandy.
There you go again.
I really wasn't even talking shit that night. I was just saying that it was, you know.
Season 1, 23. Moving on to number 22. Let's bounce right back on over to season 5.
Even though we ain't got money, I'm so in love with you, honey, and everything will bring a chain of love. And in the morning when I rise, you bring a tear of joy to my eyes and tell me everything is gonna be alright. Pisces Virgo rising is a very good sign. Strong and kind, and the little boy is mine. Now I see a family where there once was none.
now we've just begun. Yeah, we're gonna fly to the sun. And even though we ain't got money, I'm so in love with you, honey, and everything will bring a chain of love. In the morning when I rise, you bring a tear of joy to my eyes and tell me.
Right, Danny's song, number 22. Emma and Will, and they're about to do some baby making, as long as it works this time. But they sing in Danny's song.
Yeah, this is cute. This is season 5, right?
Yes, it is.
No? Yeah, season 5. And that's cute. Yeah, this is, I mean, I guess this was the big reveal of what they were going to name their child if they had it, right? Because they end up naming their son Danny. So, yeah, this is cute. I mean, I always enjoy Will and Emma together. I think that's probably when they're at their best because of the chemistry and just, you know, I mean, yeah.
Like in song or in general?
In song.
Okay, just clarifying. Yes, Danny's song comes in here at number 22. I like this one as well. I don't think the audience was super high on it, but not because of, I doubt anybody's like disliking it. I think it just isn't the most memorable performance or anything by any means, especially for a season 5 song. It just definitely gets lost and kind of forgotten along the way, but it is good. He sounds good. And then when Emma comes in as well, both of them sound nice together. So that's where it lands at number 22. And let's keep on moving to number 21. Fire from season 1. Will has found April at the roller rink because he's trying to get the glee club to practice there, and she's like, come on up, we gotta sing a song, babe.
Oh my goodness, I love this. Oh, it makes me want to go skating again. I haven't gone roller skating in so long. When is this pandemic gonna end? Goodness gracious. No, this is great. I am a big fan of all of his performances with April as well, because those are also pretty good. I'm kind of shocked that this is this low. I probably would have had this closer to the top.
Yeah, the audience had this higher as well. The audience had this in their top 10.
Yeah, this this deserves to be in the top 10. I guess maybe was it my fault then?
I mean, I don't know. Particularly, I think maybe both of us just didn't give it as high of ratings as we gave a couple of other songs to keep it further down the list.
Yeah.
It doesn't stand out to me as something that I was oh, I graded this super poorly for sure. I don't like it. It's just not one that stands out to me as the best. So maybe that's, you know, at least for me.
I like it. I definitely like it.
It's okay. It's good. There it is. Number 21, Fire, Will and April. And let's move on to number 20.
I see. What is it about you? You're big. You're loud. You're tough.
NYC. I go years without you, then I can't get enough. Enough of cab drivers answering back with language far from pure.
Enough of frankfurters answering back. Oh, brother, you know you're
in NYC. Busy, too crazy. You crowd, you cram. You're still the champ. Amen for NYC.
All right, NYC. coming in at number 20. This is a fun one, but also another one late in the game in season 5 from Will and Sue as they're heading off to New York for Rachel's opening night.
Yeah, they're getting all the mileage they can out of Jane being on in Annie, right? Lots of Annie songs from her. This is good. I mean, this is great. This is more of a Sue episode, more than a Will episode for me. So, like, that's what I kind of think of when I think about this episode. But, no, he sounds great. Mm-hmm. I think he does a good job here. And, yeah, I love a good Broadway number. He doesn't do a lot of Broadway on the show. So when he does do Broadway, I'm like, oh, interesting, cool. Mm-hmm. Considering this is where he came from.
Yeah, I like this one. I love Annie, so I'm glad that they were covering some Annie songs. And it's fun. All right, that's number 20. Number 19.
When marimba rhythms start to play, dance with me, make me sway. Like a lazy ocean hugs the shore, hold me close, sway me more. Other dancers may be on the floor, dear, but my eyes will see only you. Only you have that magic technique. When we sway, I go weak. When marimba rhythms start to play, dance with me, make me sway. Like a lazy ocean hugs the shore, hold me close, sway me more. Like a flower bending in the breeze, bend with me, sway with ease. When we dance, you have a way with me. Stay with me, sway with me.
This is, I saw this in like one of those articles that I think I talked about in part one of like creepy things that Will does, and it was like performs at his student's parents' wedding. I guess we're all just that close. Obviously, we know that over time they do, you know, end up forming a friendship between Bert and Carol, I guess, with Will. But yep, that's Will performing Sway at their wedding.
I mean, yeah, I mean, maybe they're not as close as they do end up getting in season 3, but no, it's really nice. I think he does a really good job performing here.
It's cheap entertainment. They don't have to pay much at all for the New Directions to be performing all the music there.
Yep.
So.
Yep, that as well.
Yeah, no, this is classic Matt Morrison. This is him shining, his voice coming through, the reason they put him here on the show. He's got the killer vocals when they let him sing a song that I think works for him. But so many of the songs that he gets on the show do not line up in that category, at least from my perspective. So. Their sway at number 19, I don't know if I expected it to be any higher, but I think this is perfectly fine, right in the middle of his list. 19, that was 19. Number 18, here's a big song for Will, number 18.
You, who are on the road, must have a code that you can live by. And so, become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell will slowly go by. And feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you'll know by. Don't you ever ask them why. If they told you, you would cry. So just look at them and sigh, and know they love you.
All right, that's Teach Your Children, as Will sings to all of... pretty much just directly singing to his friends, the alumni of the New Directions that are sitting across the room from him in the finale of Glee. For me, this moment really just kind of falls flat because there's so many other kids in the room. He's surrounded by like all of the other kids that are now in the glee clubs of McKinley. So it's like a billion other faces. There's a couple faces you know from the season six kids, but a bunch of faces that you don't know. And the way that, like, the fact that he's only singing to like six of the kids there, it's like, where's Santana? Where's Brittany? Where's Quinn? Where's Puck? Like, where's everybody else? Like, it's only Kurt, Mercedes, and Blaine, Rachel, Tina, and Kitty, and maybe somebody else I'm missing. Roderick might be there. I don't know. But it's just like, it's such a, like, I get the moment that they're going for here of Will singing to them, like, you know, it's the song is called Teach Your Children, but you're missing half the children.
Yeah, it is kind of a, it does feel, leave me wanting more. Like, it's kind of a hollow feeling because of the fact that they aren't all there, and it seems like it's a song mostly to Rachel. It's, yeah. But I mean that's probably, this would be higher up on the list if it didn't have that feeling for me.
Yeah.
But I think it's a generally fine performance otherwise.
Yeah. If they had all of the kids there, which I don't know what's going on these final days of set. I don't have the answers for that. But if they had all of the people there that I'm looking for to like fill in the gaps and make this that deeply emotional performance of him singing to all of them about, you know, all of that stuff, then that really, this performance absolutely skyrockets up higher the list for me. But since it's really just not that, and like I said, there's so many other faces around that I'm like, who are you people? What are we doing here? So that's fine.
Who are you people?
Exactly. So that comes in at number 18, the final Will Schuster performance on Glee. And we move up the list to number 17, to a song that we did talk about today.
All my instincts, they return. The grand facade so soon will burn. Without a noise, without my pride, I reach out from the inside. In your eyes, like the heat, I am complete. I see the doorway to a thousand churches. The resolution of all the fruitless searches. Oh, I see the light and the heat. Oh, I wanna be that complete. I wanna touch the light, the heat I see in your eyes. In your eyes. In your eyes. In your eyes. In your eyes.
Season 4. Will is trying to win back his girl, and he goes with all the kids because that's how you win back your fiance, ex-fiance, is by bringing a whole bunch of kids with you to sing a song, and it works. In your eyes, he gets her back.
I think this is his only performance in season 4, too.
It's his only solo.
No, okay. Yeah, I like this song a lot. I enjoy this. Why did Joe and Sugar have to show up for this one, but they don't show up for any other shit that they do? In this damn Glee Club.
Everybody knows you can't get your wife back unless you have Joe and Sugar by your side.
That might be true. That might be true. If all fails, and just get Sugar to throw some money at her. Mm-hmm. Make it rain. No, this is great. I like the fact that the kids are there, and then he just ushers them off completely once they're done.
All right, guys. Thanks. You can go now. Bye. So that's that. We'll usher this song off to the side now as well as we move to number 16, the last song on the list for today. That was number 17 in your eyes, and here is number 16.
Just want your extra time and your kiss.
All right, there's Kiss with Will and Holly Holiday. This isn't one that I think stands out particularly to me, but watching it back and hearing them, like, especially towards the end of the song when they, like, get up there, both of them, like, I don't know. It's better than I think I remember it for being. So I won't be
mad. They kill it. They kill it. This is a lot of fun. This is a lot of fun. I think they sound vocally. They've got it there. I think that it just works for the two of them. I think that they have a lot of fun with this song together. So I'm definitely a fan of this and them. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I fucks with it.
So I guess this sounds like, at least in your book, this is a good song to close out today's song session with, Kiss from season 2 at number 16. That's the last one of the day.
All right. Well then. Can't wait to get into season 5 and 6 with Will. But this is great. This is great. I just got reminded of, like, some of the songs that he's in that I'm really enjoying. So I think the last countdown will get much better. So I'm really excited about that.
Yep, top 15 songs still left to go. Top 15 songs still left up on the list here. And with part 3, of course, we will get into seasons 5 and 6 of Will Schuester. We'll close out his story, see how it all ends now that he's happily married and, you know, the baby's going to be on the way sooner or later. So we'll get to all of that in part 3. So that's all that I have for today. Thank you guys for listening. And Aman will close us out and see you guys in part 3.
Thank you, guys. Make sure that you're following us on Twitter and TikTok at Crying Room Pod. You can follow us individually. I'm Adam on Adwin. Matt's at Matt Ligori. Leave us star ratings and reviews wherever you get your podcasts. We'll read them aloud on the show. And until next time, we will glee you later.